Pick up in Judges chapter 15, really, really knee deep in the story of Samson, right? And you know, kind of like Peter, right? God doesn't really pull any punches on just speaking the truth about mankind and seeing, you know, man's frailty, seeing man's strength, seeing, you know, man's mistakes right there in Samson, right? And so I like that because, you know, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. And we see people like Samson in the scriptures, and we see people like Peter in the scriptures, and we see others that God just so in such a real way reveals the truth about them. It encourages us. And so we pick it up here in the story of Samson, who, as we read a couple chapters ago, was called really from the womb to be a Nazarite, to be set apart for the Lord, and really a special call and somewhat unique in that even the angel of the Lord, who we know was an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, a theophany, the angel of the Lord even told his mom, you know, not to you know, drink wine and to, you know, not cut his hair from birth and these things that, you know, someone might take a vow of a Nazarite later in life and would institute those things in their life, but even from birth. So Samson, a unique call, a special call of God, and you know, not unlike us, right? Called from our spiritual birth to be set apart for the Lord and to choose to walk wisely and to live as he would have us to live. And so Samson, we pick it up and we see, though, that, you know, as he's growing and he's, you know, very strong, right? That's one thing we love about Samson, right? He's very strong and he starts to make some decisions that, you know, to really dishonor God, right? Stray away from the vow that he had made to dishonor his parents, right? He goes down and he sees this Philistine woman that is attractive. And you know, going down into the land of the Philistines would be sort of like going to, you know, Las Vegas, I guess, right? I mean, and you know, maybe you got to go there on work or whatever. And you know, that is what it is. But there's folks that go there just for what it is, right? What do they call it? Sin City, you know? And people that go there for all sorts of things, you know, to participate in those kind of things. It's one thing if it's, you know, for, you know, go lay by the pool or whatever. It's another thing when it's going to be. And going down into the area of the Philistines, right? Samson was knowingly making a choice, right? In fact, he was going down and he kind of was attracted to, you know, I wouldn't call it, you know, true love, right? More like true lust to this Philistine woman that he asked his father for his wife. And of course, he was, you know, this part of this vow, he should have obviously, and we see in the scriptures in Deuteronomy, he's called to take a wife from the Israelites, right? And that's certainly what his parents wanted for him as well. But he was making other choices and got himself into some difficult places. And so we saw last week that he, on his way down, he wandered into a vineyard, right? One of the things they're not supposed to do is to, as a Nazarite, you know, under this vow, is to drink. But he wanders into a vineyard, which of course is where wine comes from. And he ends up engaging with this lion and killing this lion and ends up, you know, and leaves the carcass there, but doesn't say anything to his parents. And then later on, he comes back through, and out of this lion, which is dead, a bee had, you know, they had built some hives and there's honey. So he takes this sweetness, this honey, out of this dead carcass, which part of the, you know, he shouldn't have been touching a dead animal. And out of this, as he's engaged with some of the Philistines, he creates this riddle. They take this riddle and sort of a bet, a wager, if you will. And he says, you know, there back in 14, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. And the Philistines couldn't figure out, you know, what this riddle was. And so they go to his wife and badger her, and she badgers him. And eventually he gives in, right, and tells her what it means. And then so on the final day of the kind of making things whole with this wager, they have the answer. And so he realizes that his wife had revealed this to them, and they had, you know, manipulated her for that. So he goes down and he kills 30 Philistines, takes their clothes, right, and comes back and pays off his bet with their blood, if you will. And then so we sort of pick it up here at this place. So he basically gets upset and he leaves the territory. And the closing verse of chapter 14 says, so Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. So, you know, talk about a soap opera, right? You know, you know, it's his best man, and now, you know, his father, but he's the one who got upset and left. And so, anyways, we pick it up there in verse 1 of chapter 15. So after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with the young goat. And he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room." But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, "I really thought that you had thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead." So, you know, the soap opera continues, right? He goes back down after a long period of time, and he wants to go into her room. You could kind of figure that one out, right? And so he goes down, and the father, or his father-in-law-to-be, or not-to-be, I guess, in this case, says, "Well, I already gave her away," you know. But he says, "Well, just take her sister instead," you know, sort of like you know, reminds me of Rachel and Leah, right? Just sort of, "I'll just switch her out." And and he goes on and says, in verse 3, "So Samson said to them, 'This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them.' So then Samson went and he caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails." Now this is pretty impressive, right? Some people say, "Well, how could he do this?" Well, the scripture doesn't tell us, you know, it wasn't all in like 15 minutes, right? Could have had help. All we know that he did it, right? The Bible says he did it, so he did it. And so he took these foxes, and there's some interesting, perhaps, illustrations from that. But when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go. So he took two foxes, connected them a tail with this torch of fire in between, right? So you can figure out what the foxes are doing. They're just going crazy, running, right? "And he let them go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves." So, you know, we live in Iowa, right? Long about August, we'll be driving, or no, later than August, but harvest time, right? You'll be driving, and it's stunning, especially as you get close to it, and you see, of course, how dry it is, right? I understand a lot of that's used for feed, I think, or whatever, but, I mean, it gets really, really dry. It's not like, you know, what, knee-high by July, where it's green, and it might take some time to burn it. I mean, this is, you know, by what, September, October? I'm no farmer, but, you know, I see it's out there, and it's brown, it's dry. And so this is that kind of time, and he lets these foxes go with their tails on fire, and they run around. So you can imagine the pandemonium that it causes. So the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So these Philistines, who she thought, you know, were their friends, the Philistines who she had betrayed her husband for, the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire, probably in their house, probably burned their house down with them in it, right? So killed her father and killed her. Probably some lessons there for them as well, right? So verse 7 says, "Samson said to them, 'Since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that, I will cease.'" So, you know, we've already read in chapter 14, right, that God is raising up Samson. You know, God's working through his shenanigans, right? It doesn't mean God approves of everything that he's doing, but God is raising up Samson to deliver the Israelite from the Philistines. And so, you know, and he's demonstrated some pretty good strength, and he's going to get into some good combat here in a little bit, and we'll see Samson's strength. And so, when he says, "I'll take revenge on you," and this is after, remember last chapter, he went down and he just killed 30 guys, no big deal, right? And so now he says, "I'm going to take revenge on you." I would assume they take some heed to that. And so, verse 8, "So he attacked them hip and thigh." I'd look that up, right? Hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Basically what that means is he just cleaned house. I mean, he just all out attack on these folks. And with a great slaughter, as it says there. And then he went down and he dwelt in the cleft of the rock at Edom. And so he goes out, and in order to take revenge on the Philistines for burning his wife and his father-in-law's house down, who he had given away his wife because Samson bailed because she had been deceitful to him, because he had wandered into the, you know, vineyard and killed the lion. You kind of get where this is. It's just this tangled web of sin, right, that can be weaved. And then if we're honest, we can be no different, right? I mean, you look around and, sometimes you watch the news and you just go, could they not see that coming? I mean, you think about it, right? I mean, you know, not to, anyways, you know, I mean, you know, Anthony Weiner, I can't help thinking of that guy, right? I mean, how many times, right? How, and I mean, it is what it is. It's public information, right? How many times? I mean, do you think that's not just going to be common knowledge someday? You know, and the list goes on, right? People try to cover things up or whatever. The list goes on. You know, how many times? And so, you know, we see this just tangled web here. And it's not a lot different today, right? It's just not a lot different today. And so, you know, Samson takes revenge, right? And so verse 9 says, the Philistines, they went up to and encamped in Judah, and they deployed themselves against Lehi. So, right, because this is, so Samson, and this is kind of how it can be sometimes, right? He kind of did this stuff solo. He sort of flew solo. Not that he wouldn't have, you know, taken support if they had offered it, but you can see here they were kind of afraid that other Israelites, right, they were subject to the Philistines. And so he's basically at the cleft of the rock at Elim. So he's, now they're going into the territory of Levi to get him. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come up here to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us. So it's like, well, but he was kind of doing to you what you did to him. You know, you see the point here. Then the 3,000 men of Judah, and this is interesting, 3,000 men went down to the cleft of the rock and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, I have done to them. So 3,000 men of Judah go down to arrest this one guy. So they're already getting the idea, right, of his strength. They're getting the idea of his power already. So keep that in mind. It's kind of interesting. And so our first point here, right, last week we talked a lot about being faithful to the Lord, right, realizing that God is for us, that he has our best in view. We've seen that in Samson's life, by God's preparation of Samson shows that he was preparing, as the scripture tells us, to deliver Israel, right? Even before Israel cried out, even before Israel had gotten right with the Lord. And that shows God works in our lives, right? He's at work in our lives, even before we ask. I'm thankful for that, because I'm pretty stubborn sometimes, and I don't like that, and I wish I wasn't, right? Sometimes I need got a thick head, right? But thankfully, God's already at work. You know what I mean? He's already at work for my own good and for your own good. And we see that here. And so it's important to stay faithful to the Lord. And our first point here in chapter 15 is this. And it's something that as we want to choose wisely, right? The subtitle of our message today, Choosing Wisely, is this. And this is the takeaway from this first chapter here, right? Or this first part here. If you play with fire, don't be surprised when you get burned, right? If you play with fire, don't be surprised if you get burned. What's the New Testament principle? We reap what we sow. That's just a fact, right? People can try to avoid it. God is merciful, thankfully, right? So don't get me wrong. God is very merciful, and I'm very thankful for that, especially on the heels of repentance, right? God loves to see us be real about our sins. But the reality is if we play with fire, don't be surprised when we get burned. And we see this all over the place here, right? You know, we can't just point to the Philistines and say, you know, you burned the house down, and so now Samson got revenge on you. So Samson, well, Samson, you know, he got upset and he left his wife, and so his father-in-law gave his wife away. I mean, you just see it's sort of this tangled mess. And so the same is true for us. The same is true for our country, right? If we play with fire, don't be surprised when we get burned, because the reality is we reap what we sow, right? We need to walk wisely in this life. Choose, make godly choices. And the primary part of the issue of, you know, my opinion of our culture and the way of things is that our country has lost sight of eternity, right? When you factor in eternity, it changes everything. It changes everything. you know, and yet we lose sight of the reality that there is a God in heaven, and nobody gets away with anything, right? You know, by His grace through repentance, you know, we can receive great mercy, and I'm so thankful for that. But you know, our country, many of our leadership, but I'm encouraged by, you know, some things I see. I'm a eternal optimist, right? So I'm praying for revival and I'm believing the Lord for revival. That's the only hope, by the way, that for our country, absolutely, is a spiritual revival. I mean, we know the way the world's going, right? We've read the end of the book. And so, but we can see revival for God's people. We can see revival in the church. We can see revival for pockets around the world. And I want that for the Midwest. I want that for our nation. And so, but when we play with fire, we should not be surprised when we get burned, because the reality is that we reap what we sow. God, you know, says that clearly over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, right? In fact, it says, God will not be mocked. Make no mistake, you reap what you sow. And we see that peppered really throughout this passage here. And so, you know, this mess just develops, you know, of lust, right, which was sort of driving Samson down there in the first place. Anger, jealousy, right, revenge, trouble. You know, and as I'm reading through this, you know, so they've been in, the nation has been in subjection to the Philistines, right? One of their enemies once again, right? We see that, I think, 7 times throughout the book of Judges, right? This cycle where they turn to the Lord and they do well, you know? And man, I pray that for our nation. What if our nation, you know, what if everybody was walking around the lakes and the cities praying, you know, and truly seeking God?
Right.
It's one thing, you know, I see, and I'm glad to see, you know, people praying. You know, we have a shooting this last week and people on both sides of the aisle are getting together and praying. But my question is, you know, are you listening? Right? It's one thing to pray. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to listen. You know, they go out and pray and they go back in and they pass, you know, keep laws on allowing abortion. That's inconsistent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They go and they pray and they do things contrary to God's word. You know, that, and it's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing, and in no way am I criticizing, you know, folks from both sides of the aisle getting together to pray. But how about listening to the Lord? How about obeying God? How about doing what He says and believing it, you know, what His word says? Because we see, just like we see in our country, you know, we even see those who should be setting an example of peace, mm-hmm. right, in leadership, you know, or maybe not in leadership now, but leading people in anger, promoting anger in our country, and we're surprised when cities are burning. You know what I mean? You know, we compromise God's standards, and we're surprised when people are just killing each other. You know, it's mind-boggling. And so the reality is this mess develops. At the end of the day, it's because everybody's straying from God's word, right? Samson strays from what God has called him to. You know, of course, the Philistines, they don't even care. They're not listening. We shouldn't be surprised when the world system doesn't listen to the Lord. I'm not shocked by what the world does. I expect it, right? They're just following the flesh. But Samson, you know, he's taking this vow of the Nazarite. You know, the Israelites, how about the Israelites here? You know, you think about it. 3,000 men go down to arrest Samson. They knew there was something up with this guy, right? He's killing. You know, he's a great leader being raised up. We've talked about the reality that judges are not like we think of, you know, like civil or criminal judges. These are heroic leaders raised up to lead. So he's a leader is what he is. How about those 3,000 men say, Samson, let's take our country back, right? How about those 3,000 men, instead of going to arrest Samson, say, let's get behind him. You know what I mean? And God is going to deliver the country, thankfully, right? But how much more would those guys have, you know, wished that they would have said, let's get behind Samson and let's go for it and take our country back, rather than, you know, trying to make these backwards deals? Because as we see here in our next point, you know, instead of letting fear guide our decisions, allow faith to guide our decisions, right? And again, at the end of the day, we see here that these troubles started when Samson desired something outside of God's plan for him. And at the end of the day, he gave into it, right? We all have those thoughts. I mean, let's just be honest, right? We all have those desires that aren't from the Lord and those things that pop into our mind. But Samson was pursuing them. That's the problem. Samson was going for it, pursuing those. And it started with this little bit of a compromise. The Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, right, we're encouraged to take every thought captive, right? Take every thought captive. That's what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 10, you know. They are taking every thought captive. We're told to submit our thoughts to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Submit our thoughts to the will of God. And so that changes everything. That's how our minds are transformed, right? By God's word. As we read there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, right? Allow our minds to be transformed by the renewing, by God's word. And so my question for us today, right? And this isn't, we're not going to take notes or make any public declarations. But what are areas perhaps that you're compromising on God's word today? What are those areas that God would say, you know what, you're allowing lust, right? And we think of lust often in a sexual way, and that certainly is application. But it certainly is a lot more than that, isn't it? It can be, you know, greed. It can be power. It can be, you know, so many different things. Just, you know, wanting more, you know, food, whatever it is, right? That I allow this lustful mindset to drive, and it's not healthy. What are some ways that perhaps any of us or each of us are compromising with God's word today? Because when we do that, right, when we play with fire, we shouldn't be surprised when we get burned. You know, and so many problems that we find perhaps ourselves in today, certainly, I mean, it's always easier to see in somebody else, right? It's always easier to see, you know, in the news, man, it would have been a lot easier for them if they just listened to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how many people are packed up in jails today? That's just obvious, mm-hmm. right? Or how many relationship problems or other kind of issues that, man, if we just listened to the Lord, things would have been so much better. Well, what are those areas in our lives? You know, and I'm so thankful because of God's mercy. When we do come to that place where we confess it to the Lord, right? I mean, and the first is to be honest with ourselves about it. Some people aren't even honest with themselves about their sin, right? And about their issues. And so there's never going to be change. Right? If we're not honest, there's not going to be change, pure and simple, right? And so coming to that spot where rather than just letting it drive us like Samson did, allowing God's word to mold our thinking, to shape our decisions, so we start to choose more wisely. And I love that about the Lord, his mercy in those circumstances, right? I love that, you know, when we do what John says, right? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we're familiar with that, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the context of that passage clearly has to do with repentance as well, right? That's part of, you know, honest confession is like, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge this. So I think it's good to be specific about it, right? God already knows. We're not really hiding anything. You know, if I find myself hesitating, you know, sometimes it's like, the Lord already knows, right? The only one I'm not being honest with is myself because God already knows. So just confess and receive the mercy and the love. You know, so often, sometimes there's still consequences, but so often he'll even bless us with, you know, a new change of direction or you know, something's not as bad. How many times is it not as bad? Right? Is that we think so, we're so fearful of, right? And yet God in his infinite and wonderful mercy does something different. And so if we play with fire, don't be surprised when we get burned because we whoop ourselves. Secondly, instead of letting fear guide our decisions, allow faith to. And this is in part where eternity again comes in to utter importance, right? It is because the things that we're fearful of tend to have to do with this life. They will get mad at me, right? You know, they won't like me. I won't be the most popular, whatever. But the reality is we as believers are subject to the Lord, and we answer the Lord, what does God want for us? Thankfully, we have people around us who love us, right, and who are like-minded on the same page. But it's important that we allow faith to guide our decisions. Because look here, we'll pick it up back up in verse 12. Right, they said to him, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines." Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." So, right, the Israelites go down to arrest him, those 3,000 men. They go down to arrest him because they're basically going to trade Samson for, you know, the Philistines cleaning up shop there. So verse 13 says, they spoke to him saying, "Oh, no, we won't kill you, but we'll tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him from the rock. And what this means is you know, like it's like a tree branch or even, you know, an old brittle rubber band, right, or a rope that the old, you know, brittle, dry, it just breaks easily. Well, that's why it points out here, right? These were two new ropes. I mean, they're strong, right? They're bound tight. And so he's bound tightly for, you know, human purposes. God's got other plans for Samson here, but so they bound him as tight as they could. So when they came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. And so, you know, they're taking him down. You know, you see those shows sometimes. There's going to be this prisoner trade and the music's in the background, right? And they're going down to trade. And is everybody going to be square and fair and all that? And so this is kind of that scene being set here. They come down. The Philistines are shouting. They can shout all they want, right? Samson's bound in these new ropes, which means they're like the best that they could come up with. And then something happens that makes all the difference in the world. Amen? Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire. So flax is kind of like another kind of brittle, stock, right? But it says here that rather than being these new ropes, which are, think of moist and just tight, right? This all of a sudden became like flax that is burned with fire. I mean, you've picked up something, you know, a stick or something, you shuffle the coals and you see and it just breaks. I mean, it just, you know, like nothing's even there. And his bonds broke loose from his hands, right? And so he's here in the middle of this place, wherever they're making this trade. So he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Kind of interesting, right? I mean, it's not like a, you know, AR or something like that, right? He just picked some down on the ground, and you can understand that out in the you know, where they are. A donkey had died, and his jawbone's laying there. So he reached out his hand, and he took it, and he killed 1,000 men with it. So much for the trade, right? So much for them thinking they're controlling Samson, right? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. God had other plans. And we should always leave room for God's plans in our plans, right? Right? And so, and this goes back in, to a degree, right? To instead of letting fear guide our decisions, they were letting fear guide their decision to bind Samson and to take him down and trade him, rather than saying, "Samson, lead us into battle. Let's go into battle. We recognize God's hand is upon you. We recognize God is doing this work. You know, we don't even need 3,000 of us, right? I mean, how long ago was Gideon in their history? They should have thought back a little bit, said some of the guys go home, you know? Or they should have thought back a little bit more and said, what does God want, right? Remember when they sought the Lord, when Joshua and others sought the Lord, things went well. They, you know, I think they're on the seventh cycle here. Seek the Lord. What is the Lord doing? But nevertheless, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he killed 1,000 men. And then he says, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps. He's talking about bodies there, right? 1,000 of them to be exact. With the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. So I don't know how long that took. You know, I don't know if they all just stood there and watched. I don't know how it transpired. You know, it's kind of interesting sometimes in these shows, like, you know, the one you know, hero guy, and there's a group around, and like they come one at a time to fight him, and he kills them all. It's like, why don't you just all rush him at one time, you know? But, you know, it makes for a good show or whatever. But nevertheless, 1,000 of them, right? And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi. And so he, which means jawbone heights. So, you know, I think that's appropriate. 1,000 guys, you know. And so he calls it Jawbone Heights. And so, but I just can't help but think, how different would it have been if they got behind him instead of opposed, you know, and kind of did this shenanigans. You know, and so it's important for us to, instead of letting fear, how often does fear guide our decisions? Right? Fear of man, right? The Bible, Proverbs, says that fear of man is a snare or a trap, in other words. But he who trusts in the Lord will be kept secure. How much better would it have been to allow faith to guide their decisions rather than fear? How much better for us? And when we take our eyes off of eternity, right? When we get our eyes on humanity, or we get our eyes on, you know, circumstances, things can get us distracted. They can get us off course. Rather than allowing faith to guide, we allow fear, and things end up trouble. So as we, you know, continue in our study, living and learning, making wise choices, you know, it's important to realize as we make decisions that if we play with fire, right, the Bible says, in fact, can a man draw fire to his chest and not be burned? If we play with fire, don't be surprised when we get burned, because we do reap what we sow. Secondly, instead of letting fear guide our decisions, allow faith to guide our decisions. What does God say? Right? What does God want? Trust him, because he has your best in mind, without doubt. You know, we might not see it. It might seem hard. It might be difficult. It might be unpopular. But what does God want? And then last but not least, take time to be refreshed in God's word and by his Holy Spirit, knowing that he's for you. Right? So it's interesting, even in Samson, even after killing 1,000 men, even after calling this place, you know, Jawbone Heights, right? We have different heights, you know, or communities or whatever around, right? Jawbone Heights. Look how quickly things change. Then he became very thirsty. Can't blame him, right? It's time of harvest. It's hot. And he just killed 1,000 guys with the jawbone of a donkey. That's a lot of work. You know, I mean, even if they all went down with one hit, that's 1,000 hits. Or even if he got two at a time. I don't know. I mean, but anyways. So he's tired and he's thirsty. And he goes from this great place of faith, you know, Jawbone Heights, to says, Lord, you've given me this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And so that's good, right? He gives glory to God. Into the hand of the uncircumcised. So God, wait a minute. He became thirsty. He cried out to the Lord and said, you've given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? So he realizes he's thirsty. And, you know, instead of like, you know, I need some water, I'm going to die. You know, how often do we get like so dramatic? You know what I mean? I'm going to die if, you know, they don't say hi to me or whatever the case may be, you know. I'm going to die. So God's faithful. Check it out. So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank. And his spirit was returned, and he revived. Therefore, he called its name En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. And so now he changes it to spraying of the collars, all right? He changes the name of this place to now where the water comes out. But the thing here is to realize that he turned to the Lord, God provided water which he needed, and he was revived. And throughout the scriptures, we see water particularly referred to as a couple things, right? As the Spirit of God, and also the Word of God. We see it tied to both of those things. And so, but what did it do to him? It revived him. It refreshed him. So as we're cruising through life, right, we have challenges. I assume we all have challenges, right, from time to time, at least once in a while. Difficulties, right? Things don't go our way, right? As we're cruising through life, as we're living and learning, like the nation of Israel is doing in Judges, as we decides, you know what, I want to make wise choices. I want to put God first. I want to pursue him. As we realize, you know what, I don't want to play with fire because that's going to hurt. You know, I'm going to get in trouble and or what have you. You know, one time I thought it would be fun to experiment with matches when I was really young. And my cousin and I, and so we were out by this tree and up in, it's called pine something. Anyways, a lot of pine trees around there and a lot of dry branches, you know. So we thought, well, let's get these branches out and let's see what it does. And then, who lives there? I don't know who lives there, you know. So we did that, and sure enough, I mean, it barely gets crackling. And here comes this person running out in front. My cousin was a little smart. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. My cousin started to run, you know. So I just went like this. I went, I'm standing there. And they're like, what are you guys doing out here in my front yard? Mm-hmm. Nothing. He says, why is your foot smoking? Shoot. You know. So we thought it was all good until the fire department called my parents. But we didn't get in a lot of trouble. But it was a lesson learned, right? You bring fire involved, you don't be surprised when you get burned. Thankfully, my shoe only smoked. It didn't burn. But it was, and that was, in retrospect, it was a little bit funny because you know, that they said, like, why are your foot smoking? He was a kind of a crusty old guy. He had a good sense of humor, but not good enough to not call the fire department. But in any event, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. And so because we really, the truth is we do reap what we sow. And then instead of letting fear guide our decisions, allow faith and take time to be refreshed. Take time to be refreshed in God's word. By his spirit. Because as we do that, how often do we get down, we get discouraged? I mean, and sometimes it can be doing great things, right? And in this case, you know, Samson's made a lot of poor choices. You know, the nation, you can argue, has made, you know, probably not some, you know, faith-filled decisions. Philistines are just out in the, you know, they're the world, right? And so, but Samson, you know, he's been working hard, right? All those guys. And it's important for us to be sure, right? And that's why we're here on Sunday mornings. That's why we encourage us to read our Bibles and pray every single day, right? To get into God's Word, to let His Word revive us. Let His Spirit revive us. Take that time, you know? And, I mean, there's lots of opportunities. I remember when Becky and I first got involved at Calvary Placentia, you know, we thought every sign-up sheet was God's call in our lives. You know, church is open, we want to be there, you know what I mean? And it takes a toll, right? It's important to be wise about what God has called us to and to step out in faith, right? When he does call us to whatever that is, it may not be every single thing, right? But what those things are, step out in faith because you get blessed, right? As we serve the Lord and do what God wants us to do. Others get blessed, right? We talked about that last week from 1 Corinthians 12. He's given us gifts for the benefit of the body. So it's great to see people step out and use those gifts God's given them as he's called us to. But to not do that to the extent of allowing our own spirit to, you know, dry up and you know, be harmed. So take that time to be refreshed. Here we see Samson taking in water, a picture of the Word of God, taking a picture of God's Spirit, and he's refreshed and he's revived. And so it's important for us to do that because God truly is for us. And so as we, you know, kind of evaluate where we're at today, right? You know, what does God want me? For some of us, maybe it's some big changes, right? You know, for the nation of Israel, this is leading to a big change, right? Because we read the closing verse there is that Samson judged them for 20 years. So he led them for 20 years. This led to them being set free. What a beautiful thing, right? You know, getting into God's word, getting back on track with the Lord. For some of us, perhaps it's just little tweaks, right? You know, I assume, you know, okay, God's speaking to my heart about this thing. Whatever those are, it's a blessing just to step out and allow God to do that work in our lives. Because the reality is, we always do better, right, when we follow the Lord. We see God using Samson, even through his mistakes, and I'm thankful for that, right? Because I don't have to, you know, beat myself up and think that, you know, I'm, you know, going to fail or what have you, right? Just get back on track, you know? Allow God's Spirit to refresh you. Allow God's Spirit to revive you. Step out in faith in the things that He's called you to. We always do better when we follow God's Word. Always do better when we follow God's Word. Let's stand together. Now we'll close in prayer. You know, it's cool to think that even though the world around us, right, loses sight of eternity, you know, our culture, right, we don't have to. Amen. We can choose to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can choose to surrender our will to His, to take those thoughts captive, right? God's Word says this. You know, maybe the culture says this, or, you know, teacher or boss or you know, neighbor or whatever the case may be says this. But God's Word is where I'm going to go.
Right.
God's Word is what I'm going to choose. It will always go better for us. We get off track, confess it to Him. He loves us. He's for us. You know, so often we can feel like, oh, I need to go and you know, suffer for whatever period of time. The Bible says that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. That's God's heart for us. Are there difficulties that come from our decisions sometimes? Sure there are. But God loves to bless us and to help us walk through those things, because God truly is for us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, thank You so much for these truths, Lord, and just really grateful, God, for the truth and the reality of Your Word, Lord, because really we all know our own hearts. God, and Lord, it's easy to see, you know, Samson's faults and the Israelites' faults and certainly the Philistines' faults, Lord. But we all know our own hearts, Lord. And we all know, as Your Word says, that we've all fallen short. But God, thank You so much that we're justified freely by Your grace, Lord, through placing our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, certainly I pray that if anyone here hasn't done that or listening hasn't made that choice, that today would be the day that they would choose to just simply repent, turn from their old ways, and to follow You with all their heart. God, thank You for the great hope that we have in You and the great hope that we have as a result. God, thank You so much for Your love, Lord, which never fails. God, thank You for the truth of Your Word, which You said You'll never leave us, You'll never forsake us. God, regardless of how we feel, what we think, how things look, God, that You're with us always. And God, I pray for anyone this morning who feels discouraged or distant, Lord, that You would just revive them, God, through this Your Word. God, Your Word says that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God, I pray that You would revive by Your Holy Spirit, revive by the power of Your Spirit through Your Word, any thirsty souls this morning, God, because You are awesome, because You love us, because You're for us. And we give You thanks for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen. Amen.